So the first thing they teach you in a teacher training course is you never start a class with an apology. Don't do that, because then everyone thinks, oh my God, she's not prepared. It's going to be a lousy class. So I learned today from a great sadhu named Ambarish that rules are meant to be broken. So I'm starting this class with an apology, because it's a very short notice to give class when you find out 15 minutes before and you don't have your reading glasses. But because I know the devotees are very merciful here, I'll pray and beg for their mercy that something not totally foolish will come out of my mouth. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Bala Bagiri Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Badadhari. Jasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamunatira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Pad, Paramahansa Padi Vajakacharya Asta Tarasata Sri Shimana's Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Sama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Sato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Bhak. Say it again. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular reciting of Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Even that is just so comforting, isn't it? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14. These are Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. And then today's text is text 25. Oh, may I? Thank you, Prabhu. It's hard to find the exact spot like this. Oh, I appreciate it. See, Krishna's so kind. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Atmanam evatma yavid janatam. Atmanam evatma tvaya vijanatam. Tenaiva jatam nikilam prapanchitam. Tenaiva jatam nikilam prapanchitam. Yanena buyo picha tat praliyate. Yanena buyo picha tat praliyate. Rajvam ahir boga bava bavo yata. Atmanam evatma yavi janatam. Tenaiva jatam nikilam prapanchitam. Yanena buyo picha tat praliyate. Rajvam ahir boga bava bavo yata. Please chant. Atmanam eva Rajvam ahir boga. Prapanchitam Yane Nabuyo Rajam Ahir Boga Baba Babo Yata. Some ladies, please. Atmanam evatma tvaya vijanatam. Shut up, Pearlie, you Atmanamevatmatraya Vijanitam. Tenai Vajatam Nikilam Prapanchitam. Janena Buyo Kishatakaliyate. Rajam Ahir Boga Bhava Bhavo Yata. Atmanam. Yourself. Eva. Indeed. Atmataya. As the Supreme Soul, avijanatam, for those who do not understand, tena, by that, eva, alone, jatam, is generated, nikilam, the entire, prapanchitam, material existence, yanena, by knowledge, Buya api, once again, cha, and tat, that material existence, praliyate, disappears, rajvam, within a rope, akhe, of a snake, boga, of the body, bhava abhavo, the apparent appearance and disappearance. Yata, just as. Translation and purport by the humble servants of Srila Prabhupada. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but then he gives up his fear upon realizing the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expansive illusory material existence arises, but knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. So let's repeat. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but then he gives up his fear upon realizing the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expansive, illusory, material existence arises. But knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. The devotee's purport. Those submerged in illusion see material existence as infinite, just as one who is submerged in water sees only water all around him. For example, a material scientist and philosopher is submerged deep within the ocean of material illusion. Imagine that the material nature extends infinitely in all directions. In fact, the material creation is a finite ocean of ignorance in which foolish living entities, such as material scientists, are unceremoniously dunked by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isn't that beautiful? To be trapped in a world in which all things are born and die is certainly a fearful existence. We can all relate to that, no? Anyone trapped in a dark place naturally becomes fearful. Since material life is always covered by the darkness of ignorance, every conditioned soul is fearful. The material nature is not ultimate reality. I'm going to read that again. The material nature is not ultimate reality, and thus analysis of matter can never provide answers to ultimate questions. The material nature is not ultimate reality. Will I ever get that into my head? And thus analysis of material nature can never provide answers to ultimate questions. This dark, snake-like existence called material life immediately disappears As soon as one opens his eyes to the bright light of Krishna consciousness, Om Agnyate Mirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavatam canto, Lord Brahma's prayers for creative potency, is that third canto?
Yes.
Thank you. Good, my referee here. So many referees, thank you. In the third canto, Lord Brahma offers prayers for, he has such a great, huge job of creating the material universe from the elements and ingredients that the Lord has provided. It's such a huge job. Not only that, but he has to do it every single day. But aside from that, so he's offering prayers to the Lord so that he'll have the potency to do this. And as one comment on those prayers, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that these prayers by Lord Brahma, of course he's referring to this third canto there, but here Lord Brahma again is offering these very, very beautiful prayers. These prayers by Lord Brahma are the boat that which we can ply across the ocean of material existence. They're so beautiful, these prayers. And these verses, every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is full of potency. And you can, just by reading this verse, you feel washed, cleansed, and a revival of hope for that someday, somehow or other, by the Lord's mercy and the devotee's mercy, someday I'm going to come out of illusion. If I just hear these prayers, hear these verses over and over and over again. Just by hearing, the illusion is going to be ultimately washed off our poor covered little consciousness. So this verse, a person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful. So immediately we can relate to that, because being in this semi-tropical climate here, I'm sure you've encountered snakes. And if you haven't encountered snakes yet, it's probably because you haven't lived here long enough. So, and a snake is always, it's always fearful. It always creates fear. But what's worse is when you're in your yard and you think that your garden hose is a snake, and it has black and it has that yellow stripe on it like the snakes sometimes do, and you think that hose is a snake. So it's a practical thing we've all experienced. Oh, but as soon as we realize that, oh, no, 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 it's not the snake. There's nothing to fear there. That's a hose, a rope, a this or a that. There's nothing to fear there. Then we can relate to the example given in this verse. So how many of us have been, you know, going on with our daily life, practicing our devotional service, as sometimes we might experience more determination than others to follow the process of devotional service. Sometimes we might feel totally fired up, as we love to say in ISKCON. We might feel, and then sometimes what happens, those modes of nature come and wash over us, and some of those lower modes become more prominent, and the determination is a little less that day or that week or that month or that period of time. But here we have the light. Here we have the means to cleanse ourselves of the illusion, of the depression, of the misidentification of what's happening to us. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, why me? Oh, everyone else is happy. Everyone else has plenty of money. Everyone else is healthy. Everyone this and that. No one's suffering like me. Oh, woe is me. But we need to just hear Srimad Bhagavatam and wash that illusory misconception off of our consciousness and hear how just by focusing our attention on the Supreme Lord with devotion, all of that misconception, all of that fear, all of that anxiety can be washed switched off. All of it can be, and a lot of it is, by our, the more that we attentively and devotionally hear, the more it will be washed. And in the meantime, even if one can't muster up pure, unalloyed desire for Krishna consciousness right away, we can do it gradually. The whole process is wonderfully provided and explained to us and given to us by Srila Prabhupada, by the acharyas, that gradually, gradually, take to the process and the results are guaranteed. Bhagavad Gita, the Lord saying to Arjuna that the yogi has to be so determined. He has to be so determined that, actually I think this is in the purport, sorry. Anyway, the yogi has to be so determined in his endeavor for mystic perfection, right? The different processes of yoga, right? So bhakti yoga isn't the only way that one can become self-realized. There are other bona fide processes of self-realization, like the process of yoga. Yoga is a bona fide way. Astanga yoga, jnana yoga, these are bona fide processes of self-realization, but they're so, so difficult to perform in this age that it's impossible for anyone to be able to perform them. So a yogi has to be so determined to detach himself from all bodily comforts and cares and this and that, that even if he doesn't make it in this life, he has to be fixed that I'm going to do it in however long it takes. So we also have to, in one sense, develop that determination. We have to develop determination that this process of devotional service, this process of sadhana bhakti is so wonderful that let me make my attempt with full endeavor, not laissez-faire, as they say, but whatever endeavor that you could do, make it with full endeavor that in this life I'm going to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, my guru's instructions to the best of my ability, and then we're free from anxiety. Because the results are, well, who gets the results? Who determines the results? Krishna determines the results. Just like, yeah, never mind. Krishna determines the results of that. So, and it's in his hand. And whatever endeavor that we've made in devotional service, it's not lost. What's the verse that says that? Who's saying? I can't even, sorry. You want to say it again? Neha bikrama nastosti. And then the English? In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution.
And a little advancement on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear.
Isn't that encouraging? And somehow or other, we hear those things. And for myself, I just need encouragement every second practically, because my mind is always trying to bring me down. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Oh, so many, you know, blah, blah. You know, but just take encouragement from the scriptures. That's why he gave us Bhagavad Gita. That's why we have Srimad Bhagavatam. We're so fortunate to have these things, have these transcendental. In other words, not from the material world, not tinged by illusion. There's the four defects of human life. What are the four defects of human life? Someone from the other side of the room, please. Aside from Lakshmioni, teacher par excellence. Okay, I just am half dead, so can you say it again, please? Making mistakes or illusion, yes. And others? Cheating. And others? Imperfect senses? Wrong side. Huh? I did four? Right side. Mistakes and illusions. Here I am. I was just testing you. Four. We need four. Okay, good. All right. Great. Okay. So But that's not present in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's not present in Srila Vyasadeva's writings. That's not present in Prabhupada's purports. That's not present in mistakes, illusion, cheating propensity. That's not present in the comments by the great acharyas. That's not present. We don't have that. And therefore, that's why when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we, no matter how much illusion or bad mood or whatever we're in, we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we come up a little bit. A little bit. It elevates our consciousness. Therefore, we must make that endeavor to try to hear and chant every day. And if you can't do it every day, do it as much as you can, because that'll pull you up. And that's what we want. Otherwise, just like this, so nicely phrased, how the material illusion, doesn't it feel like it's like impossible to get out of it at times? Like most of the time? It's like, we've been trying. Some of us have been trying for, feels like 100 years, but whatever. We've been trying, and still the same illusion, the same identification with the body. Who am I? Oh, I'm Nanda. I'm a lady. I'm a this, I'm a that. I live over here. But that's not me. So hearing from Bhagavatam, hearing, it brings us up. So, okay, I forgot my point there. But now I'm coming back to it. Okay. Material illusion, material existence seems infinite. It seems like it's impossible to get out of. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, we're just now reading in our little ladies' reading group, second canto. The whole existence of material universe, this material, just a teeny weeny little bubble, a little seed, a pore, coming a seed pore, coming out of Mahavishnu's pores. And in that little bubble-like universe, somewhere we're situated. I have to admit, I love that poster that's come out recently, like a few years ago recently, of material creation and spiritual world and Lord Shiva's abode and the Brahma Jyoti and the material world and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, and all the Vishnus. You can stand and look at that poster, and then there's a little sign, you are here, in the middle there, in the middle existence. And one little lotus stem where Brahma sprouts out in the middle, and we're somewhere in this material middle universe planetary system. The existence seems so vast and inescapable. But by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing from the great souls, we hear, this is nothing. This is nothing of the creation of the Lord. This is totally insignificant. Isn't that, shocking? Our whole endeavor, we're making so many endeavors for so many things. Some people are making big endeavors for big projects. Some people are making little teeny endeavors just to keep their yard clean, And it's such a huge time-consuming thing. And it's totally insignificantly nothing. And what is it? It's born and it's going to die. It come into existence, it's going to leave existence. But there's an eternal reality there that we need to tune in to, that eternal existence, that eternal reality of existence. And we can do that only by tuning in to transcendental literature and by the holy name, the process of devotional service. So this, there's one example of given, Srila Prabhupada gives, of how difficult it is to find the source of creation by studying material elements, material nature. By studying the material nature, it's so difficult to find the source, just as when you plant that sunflower seed in the ground, and then it gradually, you water it and everything, and gradually it sprouts, and the roots go down, the stems come up, the leaves come up, the flower comes. If you want to now you want to find out the source of that sunflower by digging in the ground, you're not going to find the seed. You're not going to find that seed. It's not there. So similarly, material scientists, they're endeavoring to find the source of creation in a similar way. But that source that they're looking for is not in the shape that they think it is, because it's transformed. Material nature is transforming. So they're not going to find it that way. They can be so intelligent. They can develop so many things. They can do heart transplants and brain transplants and bone marrow transplants and this, that, that's that, and build this and skyscrapers so high and do this and do that and make technology and phones that bend now and so many things. But they're never going to get anywhere because they don't understand what the source, who the source is. And as soon as they can understand a little bit like that, what the source of creation is, what the source of energy is, then all that illusion becomes nullified. And all their endeavors become nullified too, but that's another point. But so we're so fortunate. That's all I can say. We're just so fortunate to be able to somehow or other, by some causeless mercy, to have come in contact with this transcendental knowledge and transcendental seed of devotion, that if we just try to cultivate it to our greatest ability. Hold on a second. Is it 8:30? I thought it was 8:45 already, so that's why I was like ending up, but that's far. Okay. But anyway, I'm still going to end up because there's nothing worse than a person with a microphone babbling away. Okay, Hare Krishna. Comments or questions? Mother Lakshmi Moni has her hand raised. My mother.
I have a question. You mentioned, and rightfully so, that so many things we have to do. We spend hours fixing the garden and the road and the road and the road. And then after...
Did the road get fixed? Oh, sorry, go on.
And then after we spend hours fixing the road, we come back and close it off because it didn't get fixed.
Then it rains.
And then it rains. And it starts all over again. And in our philosophical awareness, we understand, and maybe even we've realized that... It's not where it's at. There's another reality which is eternal, which is full of bliss, and where we belong. This isn't where we belong. But still, we feel impelled somehow or other by, if nothing else, if we want to be altruistic about it, by preaching, then we need to do these things. So how do we reconcile in our mind that these things, which we do daily, pretty much they consume our entire day? Or at least a good part of it.
That's a really nice point, the question. Thanks. And I'm sure we all feel that. He's not a bother. Don't let him leave. He can stay. Okay? No problem. He wants to hear too. Swadharma. Bhagavad Gita explains there's swadharma, duties. We have two types of duties. We have our eternal duty. We have our duty until we get to that place that we want to be. We have a material duty, you could say. There's two types of swadharma. There's two types. So we could all just say, okay, everybody, just, you know, renounce it all. Just, you know, do pure devotional service. Give it all up. Don't even eat. You don't even need to eat because it's a material body, you know. But actually, we're not on that point. We're not on that level. So therefore, the Vedas are described as more merciful than millions of mothers. So if all of us have experienced the love of our mother, hopefully, or a mother, or a motherly type person, she never gives up loving her son or daughter. She never gives up. She always loves. I just was watching the Ramayana, and there's Mandodari, you know, trying. She's loving. She never gives up loving her sons. No matter how much of a rascal he turns out to be or how ungrateful or whatever, they never give up. It's a very unselfish love. So the Vedas are more merciful than millions of mothers. Why? Because they give instruction for all types of people. Have you noticed that we're not all on the same page yet? You know, we joined Krishna consciousness with a certain enthusiasm, or maybe we were born into Krishna consciousness, And it was handed to us in a certain way. But we're not all on the same level of spiritual advancement. But does that mean that there's no hope? No, there's hope. Whatever level you're on, take to it. There's some instruction there. There's something that you can follow to improve. That's the whole Vanashram. That's the whole yoga ladder, the whole system, you know, karma, conduct, gradually. If you're totally into only living comfortably, then do it religiously. Follow this rule, do that. And in your next life, you'll have so much wealth and you'll do this and you'll so many things. You'll improve yourself. So gradual elevation is there. Of what? Elevation, it's not an elevation of material bodies. It's the point is it's an elevation of consciousness, so that one's consciousness will gradually be elevated to higher and higher platforms. Yes, it's true. We don't need to fix the road. We don't need to do this. We don't need to clean the yard, so many things. We don't need to endeavor for money to pay the bills. It's true in an ultimate sense, but we're not there. And so therefore, what do we do? We try. What does Krishna say? Yat karoshi yat asnasi. Whatever you do, do it, you know, whatever you give in charity, whatever endeavor you do, do it and think of me. What did Krishna tell Arjuna? He said, fight. He didn't say, go renounce, don't do anything, the wars, you know. He told him everything was already arranged, but do your duty, fight. But that's not the only thing he told him. He said, fight and remember me. So therefore, as we make progress, some faster than others, some slower than others, but as we make endeavor, do whatever endeavor we can do, do it and try to please Krishna, and gradually the process will be there. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also explains a little about that, or a lot, but how he and he's also a very good example, as Madhumati was reminding me yesterday, thank you, how he, what did he do? He was a great realized soul. He had a large family. He maintained it. He did his duty for the government. And then he did his translations and preaching and Namhatta program. And then at the very, very end of his life, he renounced all of that. And then we were discussing for a short time, he renounced all of that. So that was there. But in the meantime, so we've also seen, and perhaps experienced in our own life when this, that reminds me. Can you remind me? I want to talk about determination in a minute. as sometimes when we experience the moments that we feel more determined, we think, yeah, I'm going to renounce. I don't need to be married. I'm going to renounce and be a preacher and do this and do that, or whatever. Whatever it is that might come into our mind for 1 minute or two. And then we realize, so we try to make that endeavor, and then we realize, but I'm not really there yet. I still need this. I still need that. So the process is there. We have to be, that's anishtita. Our determination is wavering in the beginning. Practice, practice, practice. It'll become fixed. But as regards to determination, how is it, how can we muster up that determination that we need to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime? It's not something that's done all of a sudden. It's something that's done by practice. Just like, and Prabhupada gives the example, just like the farmer or the cowherd man. The cowherd boy, he practices lifting up a cow right from the moment the cow is born. Just the little calf is there, he picks it up. And what's the cow? What's the little calf doing every day? Drinking milk, eating grass, he's growing. He's picking up every day, little bit by little. And gradually, as the cow is growing, so is that person's strength is growing. So for ourselves, that's what we have to do. Practice with determination in the association of devotees, taking shelter, and gradually, everything will come. Just everything will come. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees. Here's a verse that I've learned. Okay, now that I said that. It's from Padyavali. Okay, this isn't the one that I was going to say, but I'm going to tell you the one that I remember. Tasmai avir abodhyam madhitam aplavanam plava iva trishanam svaduvar shiva megaha Nidir idam nivanam nidanam tiva dukamayanam bishag iva trishanam svaduvar shiva megaha. Lord Krishna, who is like the rising sun in the darkness, like a boat for a drowning person, like a rain cloud for one who's dying of thirst, and like an infallible physician for one who's suffering from the most painful disease, has come to grant auspiciousness to us. So that wasn't the verse that I was going to quote, but that's the one that I remembered. But anyway, so Krishna is very kind. He's very kind, and he's very kind to the fallen. And he's very kind to one who tries to remember him. So all we have, we're in the best hands. And he'll give us whatever he wants. There's another verse that, oh, my Lord, I am so pathetic. But you are very merciful. And I'm such a sinner, and I'm so pathetic. But you are very kind and merciful to the fallen. So please review my case and give me whatever is appropriate, whatever you deem appropriate. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
I remember what you were mentioning Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, and I remember when I read that Manasa Deha Geha, that his renunciation was different than I originally thought when I heard about renunciation. He says, everything actually is yours, Krishna. I'm taking care of this family, but they're actually your devotees. I'm taking care of them just for you. This house is actually your house. This road is actually your road. So I'm taking care of these things because they're yours. And then, because I have a lot of time that I have to spend in things that don't seem directly connected to Krishna. So I've tried to make up little things like, if it's a repetitive thing, like painting a wall, every time I dip my brush in, I chant Hare Krishna. And then every time I put it on the wall, I say Hare Krishna. And it seems to help that I just remembering Krishna, and whenever, you know, my reactions to my past activities subside a little bit, maybe I'll have more direct service in the coming course of my lifetimes. But at this time, that's all I can do. He's made it portable. Krishna's made it portable. So I just think of the chanting Hare Krishna when I'm doing everything and recognize ultimately it's that renunciation was a different mood.
Totally. Very good point. Thank you. Jitari, did you want to say something? Or
thanks for stepping in for us here.
Hare Krishna.
Spontaneous.
Thanks to Madan Mohan.
Spontaneous is fun sometimes. I was just thinking that so often we can be down on ourselves about things, but you know, we're not renounced or so often, but the real Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that by experiencing a higher taste we can give up the lower taste. So if we really focus on if we're really focusing on trying to give up all our bad tastes, then we're not going to be focusing on experiencing a higher taste. And it's I always think of the example. It's if you try and take the candy away from the baby, they're gonna freak out. That's what we do. We freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just like figure out, well, what can I do? What can I give myself right now that's gonna be more attractive than the lower taste?
And, mm-hmm.
and that's a then we aren't going to be beating ourselves up so much. So.
Very good, thank you, Prabhu. Prangovinda Prabhu.
I would like to mention that this actually reconciled by Srila Prabhupada in third canto. I found at least three purports he repeats this, and he quote this Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayajita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chajat Ahetukam. When someone is practicing this Bhakti Yoga, naturally, externally, Gyana and Vairagya must rise if he is doing it. It is not possible to touch fire and not get feel heat and burn.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, anybody is claiming to do devotional service, guaranteed, Prabhupada says. He repeats this again in the few texts later. Externally must rise Gyana and Vairagya.
Mm-hmm.
That Gyana and Vairagya
or the knowledge about the God and relationship with the Lord and the detachment from the world is itself expansion of bhakti, not a separate existence. Internally, this is externally. Internally, he develops humility and compassion. It's a synonymous of advancement of bhakti. Now, if someone does not perform bhakti, now I'm not going to be critic to you, but you said something, maybe I heard it wrong.
No, it's probably wrong.
There is no, in Kapil Dev's explanation, there is no process for self-realization without adding bhakti possible.
Yeah, correct.
Maybe I heard it wrong.
No, no, yeah, right.
Because Prabhupada
so every process has to add bhakti first.
Bhakti has to be. Without bhakti, we cannot say any yoga can actually give them result. We are not glorifying that, but at least we have to see that power of bhakti supersedes everyone.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Thank you. In that reference,
thanks.
That if somebody do not do bhakti and just want to be renounced another, that is what we discard or we should avoid it. But as for detachment, it is a natural product of bhakti.
Thank you. Kripa Sindhu Prabhu. Yeah.
If you have enough time to come to the point where you'll realize you have to add bhakti on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just saying, I don't think you said
that's
anything
okay.
wrong. The one point, we were talking about how insignificant this universe is and it's just small. Then we were talking about some of our activities being somewhat insignificant, but we have to do them from day to day. And I was wondering about that too. How do we go from being completely insignificant to significant? So there's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam that explains that when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, he becomes a significant living entity, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we are getting the great, we're serving a significant living entity, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, it's totally amazing. And even that significant personality, just like Vasudev Dutt, right? He was very significantly attached to Lord Chaitanya and his and spreading Lord Chaitanya's mercy and spreading devotional service. He said to the Lord, I could just let everyone in this universe and everyone go back to Godhead and just give me the reactions. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, that's very nice. That's very noble of you. These are my words. That's very noble of you, but that's totally insignificant in the full plan of things. Anyway, we can go on. It's so nice. You can go on talking about Krishna in so many ways. Sri Devi? Okay, someone has to run it over to Sri Devi. Thank you.
I was going to just make a small addition about determination. We were talking about determination and like performing our secondary duties. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, well, if you do not fight, if you do not perform your duty, then you will incur sin, karmic reactions. So, I mean, for me, that's also like a motivation, you know.
Good.
I think that's just a small point.
Yeah, that's a nice point. Thank you. Madhumati?
I was thinking that in the process of yoga and gyan and all those processes, am I thinking correctly that in order to get liberation, we're not talking about the highest goal in that sense that bhakti gives, but yoga and other processes can give you liberation without the aspect of bhakti?
Liberation is a very broad term, you know? Liberation is a very broad term. I heard a series of lectures by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj on liberation. So what does liberation mean? The correct understanding is, if I can repeat it correctly, is that in order for any process of yoga to be perfect, it has to be, they have to have some devotion or they won't get the perfection, even in that system of yoga. They must have some devotion. So they can get they can get out of the material world. Some of them even can get into Vaikuntha. But they can't get into Goloka Vrindavan. Bhakti is only for Krishna. Yeah. I'm going to let Prangovind explain that one. And he's going to do it succinctly. Yeah. Okay.
Because, Srila Prabhupada did give details. For karmi, bhakti means just to get out of suffering. Mukti means
mukti.
Get out
mukti,
of suffering.
Right. Yes. Mukti, right.
Liberation
a lot of
means
definitions
I
of mukti.
Die. I take birth, I suffer, so they want to get out.
Right.
So this understanding, but actually it is not fulfilling. They cannot even cross the eighth layer of this covering.
Right.
This has to be understood.
Right.
That without pure devotional service, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur even called, you know, the famous verse Prabhupada quoted probably more than 100 times, according to what I hear his lecture, always he quotes. Bhakti stayi sthiratara bhagavan jadi shet daivena na phalati dibya kishora murti mukti svayam mukulitanjali sevate asman dharma artha kama samaya pratiksha. This is a very good definition because Prabhupada someone other loves that verse, I assuming, because he quoted that third line probably more than 100 times I heard. So he says that even, can I just give you 1 minute, story? 1 minute, it won't take more. One time...
Has anybody ever said no to Pran Govinda?
One time, this Mukti Devi that we are talking about, Mukti, she is also a person.
Yeah.
This is not abstract or something in the sky. No, no. She is a person, Mukti Devi. Even when Mukti Devi appeared, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur paid obeisances in Rudradeep, and then he was so frightened, then Lord Shiva had to tap. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his own diary. Lord Shiva had to tap on his shoulder. He said, no, no, this is not for you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid of her. So we must recognize the Mukti Devi also. Mukti Devi. Why? Because that Mukti Devi one time was meditating seriously in the spiritual world where Lord Krishna appeared. And he says, why are you doing this? Why are you so much in severe austerity? Then she complained. Not complained, but in a way of, submission with a... lot of complaining, I don't know the other word. But anyway, she was submitting, Prabhu, everybody from this material world trying to grab me to cross this ocean of material. And I'm just so exhausted. I really need your mercy. I want your mercy. Prabhu, I'm just tired. He says, what do you want? He said, actually, I want only one thing. I want to enter into Vrindavan, Brajadham. Krishna immediately became grave and he says, oh, no, 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 nobody wants you there. Nobody has any clue, neither they have any interest. But she said, no, Prabhu, then I'm not going to give up austerity. Then Lord Krishna gives, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, Lord Krishna says, all right, you can come only one way because there is nobody wants you. You can stay there in a corner of Vrindavan and when my Brajabasi walks by, some dust may come on your head, you'll be happy. So she has a position in eternal spiritual world also in Golok Vrindavan as a meditator who gets the dust from the Brajavasis and she remains happy. And then Prabhupada gives that example of this mukti position to the devotee. As soon you accept as soon I accept the pure bhakti, then Mukti Devi become a maid servant of that devotee. This has to be very clearly understood. It is not like she does not. It is. She is a maid servant of that devotee. This is Prabhupada's point and he found it. But for Vaikunthavasi, this mukti that Mahaprabhu actually condemned with Bayubhirja. That mukti is not a goal for Vaishnava, even to go Vaikuntha. Now I'll summarize this. If somebody do not take three things, he cannot get out of this material eight layers, period. One is Bhagavan, eternal form, Jiva's eternal position as a servant, and there is a relationship eternal. If somebody do not accept this, and I can quote the verses after verses, there is literally I was collecting, that not possible anybody can cross the last layer is false ego. That's why the Vaikuntha, there is a, in that picture that you are drawing, there is a trident that covering that. Nobody has a power by own endeavor to okay. enter into spiritual world because of that false ego. So the and bhakti is the only one that, but bhakti means okay. that three things they have to accept. Even for Mayavadi. Now, Mayavadi does not get that merging to Brahman, but they do. Prabhupada says in Madhulila 8257 or 258, in the end of the purport, you will see, Prabhupada says, those Mayavadi, they also enter. Yes, they think they entered, so they enter into a tree. You remember that some disciple says, Prabhupada, in a morning walk, I heard that in the construction department, I can buy a big chainsaw. Prabhupada said, what they will do? Or I can cut down all the big trees. And Prabhupada said, why? He says, then the Mayavadi will be finished. Then Prabhupada said, no, don't do this. This is not our process. Okay. Somebody was so angry about Mayavadi because Prabhupada was expressing.
Okay, can I ask a question in the middle of this? What I heard Madhu Mati's question was that so someone following the process of yoga, what does it mean that they can't achieve perfection without some bhakti tinge to it, because bhakti is only for Krishna and they're not necessarily Krishna devotees. Is that correct? Okay, so that focus on that for a minute more, please.
So Shuddha bhakti, that which is not covered by karma, gyan and yoga. Shuddha bhakti cannot be with karma, gyan, yoga covered. We have to,
okay.
Karma and jnana means I still have a separate individual existence away from Krishna's interest. So all these yogi jnana, they do have a separate interest.
Right.
So but they add bhakti, then it is become karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. It is not a pure bhakti. It's a shorter version.
Okay. So do they so they get some form of liberation?
Yes.
Outside of the material birth and death,
no.
Or not?
Yes and no, because the way Prabhupada put it, in the fifth canto, Adi Lila, fifth chapter, I believe in 30 or 35 text, in the purport Prabhupada put, there are two types of seeker, one who is not want to be subordinate, do not want to surrender, and there is a other who perform this process without, by their own endeavor. So those who are called karmi jnani means they, anybody surrender means bhakta, period. But those who does not want to surrender to the Lord or the will of God, accepting Guru, that means they want to endeavor. And their ultimate achievement is within this realm. But then Prabhupada is such a sophisticated...
Within this realm of...
I'm claiming. Prabhupada gives such a sophisticated way he writes. He says, well, when the Buddhist, he clearly says like this, they enter into the rock. So then Prabhupada says, well, this rock is also part of the Brahman. So it is actually they enter into Brahman. Now you figure it out.
Okay, thank you so much. So last comment is, the whole understanding of spiritual life, it's so vast and expansive. You know, there's so many layers of understanding, layers of, and depending on our purity that we can understand. So it's like a crystal. There's so many ways you can look and see things. It's, you can never get tired of trying to figure it out.
But anyway, it's beautiful and tasty though.
Beautiful and tasty. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for your merciful attention.